This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We're back with hour number two of Ron Segi Today, live nationwide and around the world. My first guest is a gentleman that has penned a book about Howard Hughes. Now, you might be saying, is there possibly anything more that we can add to the Howard Hughes story? Well, let me tell you, there is, and he's done it. He's put 10 years into this. You got to hear this interview. It's unbelievable. Then later on in the hour, we have a gentleman by the name of Tony Harris from the History Channel, and he's going to be talking about a show that he has out in a new season called The Proof is Out There. This is about UFOs. This is fascinating stuff. And then in our lifestyle segment, we're going to talk about donating blood on June 14th, Blood Donors Day, with Dr. Mike. And that's all coming up this hour, live nationwide and around the world, with Ron Segi Today. And we welcome you back live nationwide and around the world to the second hour of Ron Segi Today. Our next guest is a fascinating guy, and a subject that he's going to be talking about is even more fascinating. It's been since 1976, April of that year, that Howard Hughes passed away. And since then, there have been a multitude of books written about him, even a movie, in fact, a couple of them, about his life, and strange life, too. But our next guest has penned a book that I understand now might be turned into a movie that tells it warts and all. It's called Hughes, The Private Diaries, Letters, and Memories. And it's written by a gentleman who put 10 years of his life in this book. And joining us right now is the author, Richard Hack.
Hello, Richard. How are you?
Hey, Ron. I'm fine, thanks.
I appreciate you doing this. We were going to do this vis-a-vis a telephone hookup last week, and I said, you know, as long as you're going to be in Orlando, you got to come down because talk to you. And fortunately for you, you have to catch a plane or else you'd be here all day long. This is an excellent book. First of all, before I go any further, I want to tell everybody that you wrote the biography of Robert Mayhew, also bios of Ron Perlman, Michael Jackson, and Madness in the Morning, which is a behind-the-scenes look of morning talk show host.
Right, like the Today Show and Good Morning America. Right.
And you're also a programming editor of TV Guide magazine and an editor and reporter and critic for The Hollywood Reporter.
Right, in another life.
In another life. But now that you're in this life, you have penned this remarkable book, which I'm sure was difficult to just get down to 400, 500 pages, about the amazing Howard Hughes. First of all, what was your attraction to him to have you spend such a large portion of your life and career researching and doing this book?
Well, the actual attraction was the number of books that had been written in the past about the man. I had read quite a few of them, and I noticed that every one of them talked about his eccentricities while never explaining why. Mm-hmm. The problem with Howard Hughes is he was so strange. He was such a unique character that to figure that out, to just tell his stories, were enough for most people. For me, I wanted to know why a man who had more money than anyone in the world, he was a billionaire, Ron, at the time that being a millionaire was very, very rare. There were less than 500 millionaires. He had $2 billion, mm-hmm. 2,000 million, and was the richest man in the United States. Why he would choose to behave the way he did, to lock himself in a hotel room, to black out the windows, to filter the air, to see no one, and conduct all his business by the telephone, intrigued me. I wanted to get to the bottom of it, and I think finally I did.
And what did you arrive at when you got to the bottom of it? Because, you know, people, not only did he do all those strange things, but also with all those millions of dollars, deprived himself of his own health by not being attended to medically. Why did he do it?
Well, actually, you know, he actually did not deprive himself of health to the very end of his life. He actually was an extraordinarily healthy person. He never got sick. One of the reasons is that he was closed off. The only way a germ could get into him is if someone carried it into his room. Mm-hmm. Every piece of thing he touched, a food, a paper, had been preserved so that there weren't germs on it. So that was one of the reasons why he went to six extraordinary lengths for people who did come in. There were only six people that saw him the last 20 years of his life, for the most part. And those people had to go through hell and back, cleaning their hands, cleaning their bodies, and that sort of thing. But the basic reason is that he simply was put upon every time he made a public appearance. As soon as he walked out the front door, he was known as a legendary ladies' man, so women wanted sex from him. I mean, remember, this is a man who dated Katharine Hepburn, Betty Davis, Ginger Rogers, Ava Gardner, Rita Hayworth, Lana Turner, sometimes all in the same week, proposed to them all. He also, being wealthy, everybody wanted to get a piece of his money, pitch him a business deal, sell him a company. They also wanted to sue him. Mm-hmm. He was being subpoenaed right and left his entire life. So that meant when he went out, there was not a second of peace for this man. So he decided, I won't go out. And once he decided he could do his business, once he found out he could do it very well from the comfort of a hotel bed, he stayed in it. And then once he was in it, it's like you and me on a Saturday morning. That's, you know, we say, well, I'm not even going to get out of the pajamas today. And you stay in your robe. And the next thing you know, it's 6 o'clock at night. You watch the game. You've eaten the, you know, drank the beer and, you know, you shot the day. Well, he shot 25 years. Because he wasn't seeing anyone, he decided he wouldn't have to get dressed. He didn't cut his hair. He didn't cut his nails. He didn't bathe. He didn't do anything except lay there and do business, which is what he wanted to do. And he was rich enough to do it.
There was a point in his life where he wanted to be the greatest golfer, the greatest aviator, the greatest inventor, the greatest movie producer, the greatest entrepreneur, and I assume the greatest lover. So there was a point where he really was very, very visible, active, and participated in society.
Yes, but that point was when he was 19.
Yeah.
That point was not when he was the world's richest man. That point was when he was young enough to go try to make his way, and he did. He became an extraordinarily good golfer, but when he found out he couldn't be the best golfer, he stopped playing golf forever. When he tried to be a great aviator, he learned to be a wonderful pilot. He did set world records. He flew around the world in record time. He set the land speed record, and he's in the Aviation Hall of Fame. But the fact was, his greatest love was actually being up in the air. He didn't have to set records to be happy. He just had to be flying.
Now, one of the fascinating parts of this story is a gentleman by the name of Noah Dietrich, which I found out just before I went on the air that you had the opportunity of interviewing on two different occasions. He was 92 when he died, and Noah Dietrich really was, the brains behind this. I mean, he was hired as an accountant back in the 30s for $10,000 a year with a 19-year-old boy who just inherited the Hughes Tool Company.
Right, exactly.
And then proceeded to make an exorbitant amount of money and just about run the roost, and every time Hughes had a problem with raising cash, liquid cash, rather than he would call on Noah to go down to the Hughes Tool Company and jack up those profits on that golden egg.
That's absolutely right.
And he would never even see the tool company. I mean,
no, he only visited it twice. That was the company that made the drilling bit that was the basis of his family fortune. And while Noah Dietrich did make Hughes a lot of money, the irony is that after working for the man for over 30 years, when he asked for a piece of the action, Hughes said no.
And it really wasn't that big of a... He just wanted a little...
He wanted anything.
Yeah.
You know, half a percent even. It wouldn't have mattered.
It was the principle at that point.
Yeah, it was the principle. And when he said... But Hughes wanted no partners. And it was a theory that he got from his father, who had no partners in his business, and Hughes wanted none, and so Noah Dietrich quit. He was eventually replaced by Robert Mayhew, the one that I had written about in Next to Hughes.
See, what always fascinated me, too, is I used to fly Convair 880s and the Constellations when I was a kid. And, of course, it was, you know, wow, this is Howard Hughes' airline. But when he put that order in for those Convair 880s and those Boeings, he really did not have the money to pay that off unless he was going to float some kind of a loan. And he didn't want to do that. How did he ultimately pay that off? Because I know that there were some problems even when they went semi-public that he was still treating it as a sole proprietorship.
Oh, yes, definitely. He thought everything he owned, even partially, was his. In the case of those giant orders, we're talking about the time that airline companies were converting from propeller airlines to jets.
Right.
He placed a huge order, $450 million worth of planes. He actually didn't have to pay for them because the order was canceled when the government stepped in and actually took the company away from him because they said he was running it into the ground. The new directors canceled that order, which were for the Convairs, and they ordered from Boeing. And so the planes were actually, some of them were made, but they were sold to Northwest Airlines.
But he had some Convairs on the TWA.
Yes, he did. The earlier versions. Yeah. I'm talking about the new jets that they were going to design and do and play with. And those actually were built, but they weren't built for TWA.
Because I flew a Convair 880 for TWA, but boy, it was the only one that I'd ever seen, to be honest
with you. Right. Well, what you got on was one of the few that had initially been delivered. They did do the order. They made them without getting paid, mind you. They just floated themselves. And had Hughes had to pay for them, he could have easily borrowed like everyone else in the business.
Sure, but he didn't want to do it.
It's because of his ego. He didn't want to make it seem as if he didn't have enough money himself to pay.
When we come back, I want to talk about some more of the fascinating subjects that are addressed in this brand new book by Richard Hack. You got to get it. It is called Hughes, The Private Diaries, Letters and Memos of This Remarkable American, who some people love, some people are not fond of, and some people, I think a lot of people, are still obsessed with because of how he actually came across as far as the public was concerned.
Here we are, 49 years later, and still talking about Howard Hughes. He died in April of 1976 of kidney failure on an airplane while he was going to the hospital for a specialist, and he died of kidney failure. And our guest has penned this book. The name of it is Hughes, The Private Diaries, Letters and Memories. And Richard Hack and I will be right back with more live coast to coast and around the world. You're listening to Ron Segi Today.
I'm Greg. I'm 68 years old. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, majored in business administration. I do motivational speaking in addition to substitute teaching. Part of the reason for my motivational speaking is I kind of feel like I have a calling or giving back to the younger generation. You know, the golden rule is do unto others you'd have them do unto you. My wife, Wanda, is a senior flight attendant. She's been flying for over 30 years. We do laugh quite a bit. I think most adults will start realizing that they don't recall things as quickly as they used to, or they don't remember things as vividly as they once did. I've been taking Prevagen for about 3 years now. People say to me periodically, man, you got a memory like an elephant. It's really, really helped me tremendously.
Prevagen, healthier brain, better life. Greg Fraley is a paid testimonialist and real Prevagen user. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who were cognitively normal or mildly impaired, this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-230-2777. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
We're back with Ron Sedgie today. My guest has been very kind to spend another segment with us. He's written a book called Hughes, The Private Diaries, Letters, and Memories of Howard Hughes, who passed away 49 years ago this past April. One of the things that you do,
which I find kind of unique in the format, is you start off with probably the most mysterious part of the Hughes legacy, and that is his death. And it's ironic that he should die on an airplane, which is where he always loved to be. But like the Kennedy assassination, there have been many accusations of a cover-up. And you actually addressed that right out of the chute.
Well, one of the reasons I began the book with that, Ron, is the fact that it wasn't ever known. The autopsy report actually was never made public. And one of the reasons it wasn't made public is the condition of Hughes was so horrific. He had shrunken to less than 100 pounds. Remember, this is a 6'3" man. He had open sores all over his back. There were more than 20 of them. He had dislocated shoulder. The bone was sticking out of his skin. He had broken off hypodermic needles in his arm because he was self-medicating himself with liquid codeine and would sometimes be so drugged he'd break the needle off, and they just left it there. Now, on the surface, that looks like mistreatment. In reality, he was a total manipulator. He was totally in control and could have gotten treatment any time he wanted to request it. He did not want it. He wanted to be the master of his own domain and did not care. This is a man who did not even go to a dentist for the last 25 years of his life, let alone brush his teeth. Can imagine that aroma.
Yeah, yeah.
But the aides that worked for him also had a certain responsibility to humanity that they did not accept. They simply listened to him and let him go. They let him do what he wanted, and they eventually let him die. He had four doctors on call around the clock. They did likewise. And their excuse was, we couldn't do anything else. He didn't want to be treated. What could we do? The doctor who finally saw him from Mexico, he was in Acapulco at the time, they called an emergency doctor in because they didn't want this guy to die in a foreign country. And the doctor said, you know, when you have a patient who is in a coma, you don't ask permission to get them hospitalized. Right. You take them. This was a death by neglect, which is the title of the first chapter. It is not unusual, though, when you get into who Hughes was, that he would die that way, because he did not want anybody, doctors or lawyers or assistants or Noah Dietrich, for that matter, to tell him what to do. He wanted to be his own boss solely, and he lived his entire life thinking only of himself. That's why he never gave money to charities.
Never had any children.
Never had any children, and never wanted a wife around. He only wanted one for what they brought him, which was sex and the illusion of a married man, merely because he wanted to do what he wanted to do, which was create, invent. This was a brilliant man.
Yeah.
We are benefiting from him even today. He was the first one to come up with the concept of cellular telephones in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Hughes Aviation launched the first communications satellite. The early bird satellite was from Hughes. He came up with the idea of guided missiles. The Falcon missile is a Hughes creation. He's the first one to retract landing your own airplanes. He said,
really?
why are these wheels down here? It's, you know, too much drag on the plane. Let's get them up in the belly.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he made the, in fact, when you, every time you get on a plane, you look at the skin of that shiny aluminum, it's because of Hughes. Before that, they had exposed rivets. He said, let's make it smooth. Let's make rivetless skin here.
He designed that tail on that Super G Constellation.
Yes, he sure did. And he also was the first one to enclose a cockpit. Up until Howard Hughes was flying, it was all open with goggles.
Really?
He was the very first one to put this plexiglass, brand new formed plastic around an airplane cockpit. So this man was constantly thinking, and that is how he wanted to spend his life. He did not want to be bothered when he didn't want to be bothered. And because of his immense wealth, he could. The rest of us have to operate in a little different circle.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why we're so bothered by this man. We want someone who has billions of dollars to be happy. And our version of happy is spending your money. Our version of happy is buying cars and getting a big estate and having all the servants and, you know, showing it off. To Hughes, he could have cared less. He had all that when he was 18 and 19. This is a guy who had an allowance from his father when he was 12 of $5,000 a month at a time when it was the annual salary of a family of four. Money was immaterial. He didn't even think of it, which is one of the reasons he was so astounded when he ran out of it at one point in his life during the Depression.
But there was a time when he had a car that was going to be repossessed. A server came, and Noah got him out of that deal. But he didn't want to lose that car, did he?
Well, yes. There was, he had Duesenberg, and that was the one you're talking about. Yeah. He also had Rolls Royces. Yeah. He gave one to Catherine Hepburn, who he lived with for 3 years. He gave one to his first wife, Ella Rice. At that point in his time, he was in his 20s. He loved driving cars. He loved driving fast. He loved the idea of speed. He had no conception of risk. But at a certain point, which was around the time he turned 30, he decided it was all extraneous. It all was just extra stuff, really didn't need. And after that point, he drove old Chevy.
You have in the book about 3 pages of a description, just one of many of instructions that he gave to his aides. This particular one is how to open a can of fruit.
Right.
If we had the time, I would read it. It was a very detailed, you think that he was actually planning an invasion of a foreign country. I mean, you have to have the fruit in the middle of a table that has paper on it. The paper has to be from here. When you look at it, you sometimes think that Dr. Vern Mason may have been somewhat justified in saying that somebody should maybe commit this man.
You know, he did have an obsessive compulsive disorder in the sense that he was obsessive about what he did. But in researching much of this stuff, I discovered that part of Hughes' character was a wonderful sense of humor. He would ask his aides to stand in the corner and keep them there like for 4 and 5 hours facing the wall just to see if they would do it. And I have a funny feeling that a lot of these huge obsessive things about pulling the fruit out without touching the side of the can, and if it touches the side of the can, throw the whole can out.
Could have been his entertainment.
Right. It could have easily been his entertainment because that's the kind of guy. It, remember, he had all the time on his hands that he wanted to play,
right.
So why not?
Now, you tell me that this has been sold 2 times, once as a screenplay and once as a documentary?
Right. It has been sold for a feature film. I'm going to be doing the screenplay myself. Really? It has also been sold as Billy Friedkin, by the way, Exorcist fame,
sure.
Famous producer-director, is the one who has optioned this book. And also, it has been optioned for a documentary on television.
I think it's important to note that the last time something was done, it was The Amazing Howard Hughes starring Tommy Lee Jones, which was actually modeled after the Noah Dietrich book, but as we discussed before I went on the air, that only took up to a certain point and a certain view, too, a very positive view. The screenplay that will be done for this sheds light on areas that never was touched in the Dietrich book.
Yes, that's true, and it also brings it right up to date. By the way, I think I should mention, Ron, the people who eventually inherited Hughes' estate, his 32 cousins and second cousins, all of whom he never met, each became billionaires in their own right.
Isn't that something? Richard, I really appreciate this. Obviously, you know I read the book. Now,
yes, and I appreciate that. So many don't.
And I'll probably read it a couple more times, too. Please come back when you get closer to the release of the movie, because we'd love to have you back.
I'd appreciate
it's
that.
It's a fascinating book. It is called Hughes, The Private Diaries, Letters, and Memos of Howard Hughes, penned by a gentleman who has dedicated 10 years of his life to the research and the writing of this masterpiece. And that, of course, is Richard Hack.
And I'll be right back with more with Ron Sedgy today.
I started my business in 1986 and began paying employees. I would handwrite checks and say, "Here you go. Don't cash it until Tuesday." That came to a screeching halt when a teenage employee said his dad wanted to see his pay stub. "Pay stub? We don't have pay stubs. Get back to work." He said, "Dad works for the government and state law requires I receive a pay stub." Uh-oh. Hi, I'm Mike Kappel, CEO of Patriot Software. After many emergency calls, I learned how to correctly withhold payroll taxes and create pay stubs. I avoided handcuffs and an orange jumpsuit that day, barely. That's why I created Patriot Software, to help small business owners do their payroll taxes correctly with pay stubs. And if you need help, we will help you for free. Go to PatriotSoftware.com and enter promo code RADIO, and I'll give you 2 months of payroll processing free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
USA News Update. Former President Trump says his latest indictment is actually driving his poll numbers up. Speaking on Saturday at a GOP convention in Columbus, Georgia, Trump said that it is a, quote, horrible thing for the country, and the only good thing about it was his poll numbers are, quote, way up. President Biden will hold his first re-election campaign event next weekend in the swing state of Pennsylvania. Biden has frequently highlighted his ties and support for labor unions, referring to himself as, quote, the most pro-union president in history. Arcangelo crosses the finish line first at the Belmont Stakes Saturday, and it's history for Jenna Antonucci, the first female trainer to win the Belmont. Transformers Rise of the Beasts opens with $25 million, and it's projected to soar to $60 million through the weekend. I'm Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We're back live all across the USA and around the world. You're listening to Ron Segi today. Well, I could talk to our next guest for hours and hours for a couple of reasons. One, we are fellow broadcasters, and the second, of course, the subject matter, which is extremely interesting. Joining us right now is Emmy Award-winning journalist, filmmaker. He is also 6 years at the CNN newsroom, had a George Foster Peabody Award for the Hurricane Katrina coverage. He also served as the international news anchor for Al Jazeera English, correspondent for Entertainment Tonight, and he now host a show on the History Channel, which is superb. New episode starting this Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on the History Channel. Joining us right now is Tony Harris. Hi, Tony. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Ron, how are you, brother? Great. Ron, you check all of that. It just reminds me of how doggone old I am. It's good to be with you, brother.
Well, you know, I got to tell you something, Tony. I've said this several times on the air. I was interviewing Steve Allen one time, and I did this whole introduction. Yes. Of course, Steve Allen did everything, and at the end of it, he said, you know, that sounds like an obituary. What are you doing to me? You know, so.
I totally get the feeling. It's like, my goodness. And on the one hand, you're like, hey, this has been a pretty good ride. And on the other hand, oh, my God, it's been a long ride.
Do what I do. Just tell everybody you started when you were 9, okay? And that'll take you to
that. I love that.
The name of this popular series on the History Channel is called The Proof is Out There. And as I mentioned, Tony, this is something that absolutely attracts everyone, believers and non-believers, about simply UFOs. And a lot has come out to Congress and the U.S. Navy proving that there might be a chance that these UFOs exist. Not necessarily alien individuals, but some kind of UFO. Tell us about it, because I find this fascinating, and I'm one of these guys that are like, really? Give me a break. But, you know, it's getting pretty...
Are you on the fence about it, or you're a skeptic?
I'm a skeptic, but I'm a skeptic about everything. Yeah.
I'll tell you, I'm a skeptic.
Good. That's good. So tell me how a skeptic looks, like I do, because I don't know if I'm just losing it or not.
Right. So I guess I was approached about the show a few years ago. We piloted a different program that wasn't picked up, and this was in the works. And they said, you know, look, we think you'd be good at this. Your skepticism really helps us. You know, we're taking a critical look at some of the tentpoles in this space. That's Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster, that's Sasquatch, that's Yeti, Bigfoot. We're taking a critical look at some of these tentpoles in this space. And then what we're going to do is ask people if they've had an experience or they've captured something on video so that it's a captured video, crowdsourced show, to come forward with that video, and then we'll take it apart with a team of experts. That's it. That's the conceit of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, on one hand, it's kind of risky because it's a critical look at a lot of the material that's really propelled the History Channel over the years and a lot of the study and interest in the paranormal. And on the other hand, it shows you how smart they are, because this is a show that everybody turns to now, knowing that we will take a critical look at, you know, a lot of things that's in the zeitgeist right now and render a verdict, which a lot of shows aren't willing to do. So that appealed obviously to the skeptic in me. So when you're talking in a room and you've got renowned physicists and audio and video analysts who are working for police departments all over the world who are taking these videos apart, you feel pretty confident that what they're telling you, you know, has more than a grain of truth to it, right?
So, oh, yeah, right.
And then when we go out and we render that verdict, it ends up being pretty powerful for folks, and it confirms or it debunks what they've been thinking about a thing, and oftentimes they're happy that we did it. Oftentimes they're yelling at me on Twitter. So it's a wonderful place for us, a journalist, to be. Half of the people are upset with you and half of the people are happy with you. Perfectly comfortable there.
And that's great. But, Tony, what would happen if one day you came up and said, you know what, there's no such thing, okay?
Yeah.
I don't think you'd hold an audience anymore, because the fact of the matter is the unknown is what keeps bringing back that audience all the time, and my wife falls into that category.
Yes.
Because if you said there's no such thing, it's like talking about Santa Claus, then, well, forget that issue, you know?
Yes. No, I think that's an interesting position, yeah.
I think people really want to believe this. There are people that don't believe anything. You know, they don't even believe the moonwalk. So
that's right.
You're never going to satisfy them.
You tell them it's red, they'll tell you it's blue.
That's exactly. That's what's happening in the government today. And they love conspiracies. Look how long this has gone on with the Kennedy assassination. But, you know, every president, Tony, since Clinton, says that once they get in there, they're going to find the truth. And once they get in there, they don't talk about it anymore.
Exactly. What do I think? What do I believe? What do I know? What I can... Look, we know that there are a lot of these UAP sightings around military installations. We also know that foreign powers would love to send balloons and whatever else over to spy on our technology. We know that we're in a different kind of race now. sure, it's probably still an arms race, but it's definitely a technology race.
Mm-hmm.
So we understand all of that. How that all comes together in this space and in this world of the unexplained phenomenons, the UAPs and the UFOs, is still to be determined. For me, I believe that at the end of this, I don't believe we're here alone. You know,
mm-hmm.
And so I think that through our exploration and the work that's being done, you know, by bodies all over the world, we're going to come to some definitive proofs, right? And the more journalists and serious journalists you have working on this and serious scientists you have working on this, you know, the more you're likely to find definitive answers. So I think the proof is out there, and whether that says, yes, there is alien technology and UAPs and they're studying us, or no, you know, this is all government work, I think we're going to find out.
Well, you know, the thing is that there are some fascinating elements to this. I just watched last night that they had a pilot on an Air Force pilot on one of the news channels, and they actually said, and they had footage of it, that this thing that they were watching was going 2 Mach. Now, that's pretty
fast.
Yes. What about this yellow brick road that you found?
So that ties to, you know, the fabled stories of the lost city of Atlantis, right?
Right.
So I mean, you know, people come with their own thoughts on the lost city of Atlantis. Is it real? Is it not? And whenever there's video or something that pops up to shed some new light on that, to get us closer to the proof and the truth of it, you know, we'll take a look at it. There's some new video that appears to show what could be a path or a road, right? And so we take that video apart.
Wow.
We analyze it, and our team does a pretty amazing job on it. And we can, you know, I won't tell you what our verdict is, but we can move the ball along on that discussion of the lost city of Atlantis through this video and this find. So, you know, that's the part of the job that's a lot of fun for me.
Sure.
Is that, you know, as a journalist, I'm able to sort of take it apart and take a journalist viewpoint on it.
Yeah, I think it's great. Now, this alleged Loch Ness Monster has been around so long. This thing's got to be like 400 years old, you know. But that's still,
right.
That's still on the table, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. We've got new video. We've got a couple out on holiday in Scotland, and they go to the loch, and, you know, they capture something. They see something moving, and, you know, they whip out their phone, which is what we tell everyone to do at the end of each show. You know, keep those cameras rolling and send that video to us. So they essentially do that. We get the video, and we send it to the analysts, and they take a look at it for us. And here's the thing why that will always remain a mystery. And the whole secrets of Loch Ness and trying to unlock them is it's so deep, 750 feet deep, and it's so dark and murky.
Right.
We just don't know. It is the thrill of the unknown. We don't know what's down there. So when something pops up close to the surface and someone's able to capture it, now everything we've heard about Loch Ness is recycled in our brains, right? Is it plesiosaur? Is it a sea monster? Is it a giant eel? What is it? That's the magic and the beauty of our show, is that whenever we get something like this, we can link it to, you know, kind of our thought known history of what that event might be, and that's kind of fun, and that's the pure entertainment side of it before we turn it over to the scientists to do the nuts and bolts of it.
Sure.
But to get a piece of video like this and be able to link it back in history and all the tales that have been told about the Loch Ness Monster, that's fun. That's the History Channel, baby.
And you hit it right on the nose about the you know, the things that are unknown, how attractive that is.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you something about the History Channel. We don't need public broadcasting anymore as long as we have the History Channel.
The work they're doing is amazing. I'm fortunate that I'm getting an opportunity to do more of it, so it's a wonderful landing spot for me, and I'm really blessed to be on this program and with this channel.
Tony, how many episodes now that are going to be returning this Friday?
So we've got 10 episodes in that are coming out now. We're about to shoot another season, and when that's all added up, that'll be another 52 episodes.
Wow, fantastic. Well, Tony, I've got to tell you something. I love the show. I love the History Channel. You do a great job on this, and please, don't be a stranger here. Come back anytime. Would love to chat with you. Always nice talking about the subject matter, and as I mentioned in the introduction, a fellow broadcaster. So let's do that, okay?
I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Yeah, Tony. I really enjoyed it.
Tony Harris has been our guest, and as I mentioned before, Tony is the host of the History Channel's popular series, new episode starting this Friday at 10 o'clock Eastern and Pacific Time on the History Channel called The Proof is Out There.
everything about the unknown. It's starting to get scary just thinking about it. And after a quick pause, we'll be back with more on Ron Segi Today.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-230-2777. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Ron Segi Today, nationwide and around the world. On June 14th is a very important day. It's also Flag Day, by the way, but it's also important because it's World Blood Donor Day. And if you haven't done your civic duty, you should really look into it. And here's a statistic that really shocked me about it. Blood supplies are very, very low, and the rates of people who are in high school and college, the donation of blood has dropped since the pandemic started. We've got to correct that, and we're going to do that with Dr.
Dr. Mike Barshopsky. Hello, Doctor. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hello, Ron. Thank you so much for having me. Like you said, a very important topic, and we cannot be talking about it at a more crucial time.
Let's start with the fact that blood donating is down in general. I mean, right now, 3% of the population donating each year. That's a very low rate, and it's down. Not only is blood needed all the time, but why is it more so this time of the year?
Well, it is, Ron. I think the pandemic had a big role in playing the shortage, because we started seeing that, you know, there was less blood drives, less events, less group parties, if you will, to go and donate blood. Also, during the summer, people tend to travel more and make less time for things like blood donation, and we want to change that. That's why Abbott partnered up with the Blood Centers of America to create this cool new mixed reality experience where individuals can go and donate blood. It's high tech, it's fun. We're hoping to get that young generation excited about it through all this fun tech.
I am very excited to learn about this high tech makeover that's coming up this summer for donations of blood. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so basically, if you can imagine what a virtual reality headset looks like, it's one and the same with the one crucial exception. The plate that goes across your eyes is actually clear, so that it can be a safer process, so that the staff can actually continually monitor you throughout the blood donation process. And what's cool about this tech is that there's actually eye tracking sensors within the headset that actually monitor your eyes and allow you to use this tech to play a game, to play in this little garden app that they have without using your hands, so that you can still continue donating blood, make the process that much more enjoyable, maybe add a little distraction in for those who may need one in order to get through the blood donation process. For me as a tech nerd, I loved wearing this thing.
Well, you know, I have two grown sons, and they are first responders. I got to tell you something. I've never met two guys that are more chicken to get a shot in their arm than anybody in my life, and I thought as a kid I was bad, but nothing like these two guys. Dennis should try this.
Yeah, I think that distraction goes a long way when it comes to our healthcare system. So making use of this will go a long way to helping restore that blood supply that we really, really need. We actually need blood products in this nation every 2 seconds for accident victims, burn victims, traumas, cancer patients, those who are having pregnancy-related complications. The need goes on and on. And if you can do this by just spending an hour of your day going through this cool reality, mixed reality experience, you'd be helping out your community a great deal.
Is it available universally, or is it still being introduced in different markets in different areas?
It's being introduced, Ron, into metropolitan areas. Currently, the plan is to be in New York City, Houston, Columbus, and Chicago, but they're continually expanding, so I encourage everyone to visit BeTheOneDonor.com/mixedreality to learn more, to take that pledge and say that you will donate blood, and really support the Blood Centers of America by going and donating blood.
Is there any type of blood that is more in need than others?
I think it's individually dependent, so it's important to go and fill out surveys and see what you're eligible for. We have to know that platelets don't last as long as whole blood, so that the need for those can be quite high. But in general, when you donate, try and donate as much as you can, in a safe way, of course, and make sure that you celebrate with a cookie afterwards.
Now, I know this is elementary to you, Doctor, but there's people that I talk to, and, you know, I'll be honest with you, when I was a kid, I thought the same thing. Boy, I'm giving away blood. I need all this stuff for myself. That's just a fallacy.
Yeah, so the body creates new blood. That's not a problem. And in fact, what I would even venture and say, by donating blood, you're actually getting a health benefit. Because we know from our mental health research, when you participate in community building activities and you support those around you, that gives you a mental health boost. So not only are you helping your local communities, but you're helping yourself out, especially during stressful travel times like the summer. So I'm all for doing this.
Now, this new experience by Abbott, will this be at one point everywhere? I mean, is that the goal? And if that is the goal, how long do you think it will take to roll out everywhere that we go and give blood?
That is the goal, and I'm excited about that goal because I want to see everyone having fun when they donate blood. I want it to be a group activity that everyone can schedule, make it a several times a year experience for themselves, because you could safely donate blood up to 6 times in a given year and do it so safely. So I encourage everyone to visit betheonedonor.com/mixedreality to learn more about this really unique and fun high-tech experience.
Is there a time when you shouldn't donate blood? I mean, it's something like common, like maybe a common cold or something that is probably not a good idea, or does that not affect the blood?
I mean, it really depends. It's so individually dependent, especially given your vital signs, your current state of health. For example, if you're anemic and you have low blood counts, that would obviously rule you out. But I wouldn't try and make that distinction on your own. I would contact your local Blood Centers of America location and see what they recommend based on your given health history. Know that when you're going to donate, you're not just going to donate. You're getting a health questionnaire. You're getting a little health checklist done. It's all part of the process. The actual blood donation takes only about 10 minutes, so it's rather quick.
So someone doesn't have to worry about their having possibly something they don't even know about.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a health condition, by going to one of these blood donation centers,
right,
it's not impossible that you might find something new out about your health.
Sure.
But I would just recommend everyone take the time to do the proper health screenings, do the checklist, and have fun with the process, because that's what this is all about.
I think that's great. I got to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest here has a social media on YouTube that's unbelievable. 23 million followers, 10 million subscribers, 1 billion views across 400 video platforms. But where can we go to learn more about this, Dr. Mike?
Yeah, Ron, all people have to do is visit betheonedonor.com/mixedreality to learn more about this really unique process. And if you're interested in learning some health stuff, you know, I am on YouTube under Dr. Mike, where we continually share an evidence-based health message, just like we're doing today on your show.
That's great. Doctor, thank you for joining us. And again, coming up June 14th, it's World Blood Donor Day, but don't just be conscientious of it on that date. Be conscious of it all year long. Doctor, thank you for joining us. Great information, and you're welcome back anytime. Thank you for all of your help.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
As always, stay happy and healthy.
And to you too, my friend. What a great experience that is, and the good doctor really got a hold on it. I think this is a great way of giving blood. This new technology will attract men and women of all ages to give blood. It's a great way to do a lot for humanity. And of course, coming up is World Blood Donor Day, and that is this Wednesday, June 14th, Blood Donor Day. Don't forget it. Mark it on your calendar. Wednesday, June 14th, Blood Donor Day. And that wraps up our lifestyle segment.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
That's a wrap with Ron Sedgy today. I want to thank you and all of our guests for being part of the show. And our guests include none other than Paul Anka from Pawn Stars, Rick Harrison from the team of Simon and Garfunkel, Art Garfunkel, Richie Sambora from Bon Jovi, author Richard Hack from the History Channel, Tony Harris, and Dr. Mike.
We'll be looking for your company come next week, Father's Day weekend, when we're going to do it again live all across the USA and around the world with Ron Segi today. And until then, I'm Ron Segi, hoping that you have blue skies and green lights.
I'm Greg. I'm 68 years old. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. Majored in business administration. I do motivational speaking in addition to substitute teaching. Part of the reason for my motivational speaking is I kind of feel like I have a calling of giving back to the younger generation. You know, the golden rule is do unto others you'd have them do unto you. My wife, Wanda, is a senior flight attendant. She's been flying for over 30 years. We do laugh quite a bit. I think most adults will start realizing that they don't recall things as quickly as they used to, or they don't remember things as vividly as they once did. I've been taking Prevagen for about 3 years now. People say to me periodically, man, you got a memory like an elephant. It's really, really helped me tremendously.
Prevagen, healthier brain, better life. Greg Fraley is a paid testimonialist and real Prevagen user. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who were cognitively normal or mildly impaired, this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.